This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and in today's installment of the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, we're going to visit a farm. It's not just any farm, though. This particular farm is located just north of Sauk Center and is home to a good number of people, some of which are volunteers who live there full-time. Others are adults with developmental disabilities. The name of the farm is Camp Hill Village, and it's part of a worldwide movement that was begun in Scotland by Dr. Carl Coyne just before World War II, and is based on the teachings of Rudolf Steiner, who was an Austrian scientist, philosopher, and educator who also inspired the Waldorf education system. The philosophy of Camp Hill revolves around inclusion within the responsibilities of life throughout the community, as well as being mindful of the cycles of nature and how creativity and inclusion add a needed depth to all of our lives, not just on the farm, but anywhere we go. And a simple visit out to Camp Hill will demonstrate very quickly how important that depth truly is. So in today's Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, we'll talk with a few of the volunteers, as well as some of the full-time residents who have been there for years. And we'll start off with Kristen Wilson.
We're part of a worldwide organization.
It was actually started in Scotland by refugees from the Nazis during the Second World War. The first place that they were given to live was called Camp Hill Estate, and that's how it became Camp Hill. And the first place was for children, it was a school, and then children grew up, and then the adult community started. The first communities in the United States came over around, I think, 1960. People came over and started a school in Pennsylvania, and then also an adult community in upstate New York. And we've expanded from there, and we're the only one in the Midwest. So, I mean, being a part of such a big organization has certainly been part of what makes it work, because we're working on a model that works. And, I mean, the major thing that holds us together is the philosophy that we're based on. That's what the community works out of. It also draws a certain kind of people, just because we're full-time volunteers, and that doesn't work for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so people who come here come with a heart to do the work that's going on. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting when something works, when something's positive, keeps growing. Mm-hmm. You know, it is it's like a positive feedback loop. Mm-hmm. It just, you know, if something works, it keeps growing and mm-hmm. keeps spreading. Yeah. And it just doesn't fade.
In spite of the fact that we are actually 33 years old, I feel like we're still, I think, because of where we're located, we're still doing pioneer work here that a lot of the other places get through. And I think that's one of the really positive things about our place here, is that there is that spirit of the Midwest and the pioneering that still holds here.
My name is Emily Trenholm. I'm 23 years old. I'm from Eagan, Minnesota, which is just south of the Twin Cities. And I'm a recent graduate of the University of Minnesota with a degree in English. And what brought me to Camp Hill is, it's a bit of a long story, but I'll try to be brief. I guess as an English major, I had a real interest in environmental literature. I really wanted to live close to the land, and Camp Hill here is on a 500-acre biodynamic farm, so it's a beautiful place to be close to nature. And I also had a real interest in education in my later years as an undergraduate, and I did some student teaching, worked with children with special needs, and so I really wanted to work with adults with special needs. And it's been really amazing. I've only been here 2 months, and already I'm just amazed by everything here, really, and it's all interrelated, I think. The idea of respecting the land and respecting each other and bringing out the best in each other and living and working together side by side, and it's really a place of renewal and healing in many aspects. It's a really amazing place. The unique thing about Camp Hill is we exist in a different time zone. We've sort of slowed down time, and we really, especially with meal time, meals are a kind of ritual, and you know, we bless the meal before we begin, and we thank it afterwards. But during the meal, you know, we talk and we catch up, and we don't leave the table until everyone's finished, until we feel that the meal is done with, and we've, you know, really made a connection both with the food we're eating and each other. And I think that's a huge part of what the problem is in, I don't want to just say American culture, it's really industrial culture, it's, you know, it's global now. It's really just not taking the time to reflect on things and appreciate things. And I think some of the larger problems in the world now, environmental problems, and are linked back to not having this sort of give and take relationship that exists in nature. It's about giving back, not taking too much. It's very much about reciprocalness.
Well, if you think about it, it is a symbiotic relationship that humans have with the world. So we need to respect that.
Definitely. And there's sort of a microcosm of that living on a farm, you know, cows, for example, domestic cows, you know, that's a really symbiotic, mutually beneficial relationship between cows and humans, you know. Yeah, I think getting back to the sort of reciprocalness and the give and take it's really, really opened my eyes how much I have to learn here. You know, I have some things to teach, but it's always amazing to me what I learn from everyone here at Camp Bill. People with special needs, everyone. And we all really have special needs, so we all need to take care of each other. So it's been a revelation every day, so it's been a wonderful experience.
Well, I grew up here and left when I was 18 and lived in the Twin Cities for a few years and lived in another Camp Hill for a year and went to college and then I came back, been here for 4 years in December. So.
Yeah, I think farming definitely brought me back here, but this type of farming. We do biodynamic farming,
okay.
And also the pace of life here, and yeah,
community aspect,
farming and community.
Well, give me a quick rundown about biodynamic farming. What exactly is that?
It's a good question. Basically, in a nutshell, it's a holistic way of farming where you view the farm as a living organism. So there's all different parts of the farm that make it whole. And I think one of the first methods, if not the first method of organic agriculture in the world, and started in the 1920s in Germany. And farmers came to Rudolf Steiner a few years after the Green Revolution, chemical farming had started, and they had seen a lot of signs that this type of farming wasn't working. A lot of the vitality of the plants and the animals was weakening, and so they asked Rudolf Steiner to come up with a method of farming that is healing to those, that weakening type of farming, and he came up with biodynamics, and now it's been taken further in the last 90 years. There's the healing elements. Basically, every species has a place on the farm, and so there's a focus more on diversity versus monoculture. And a lot of the problems that you get in monoculture are taken care of through diversity without added inputs. They're just a natural byproduct of the ecology. And then Steiner also came up with a set of homeopathic remedies for the compost pile, and also homeopathic sprays for the land, for the plants, and also the soil itself. So that's also part of it. And another aspect of biodynamics is using the rhythms of the earth and also the planets. Like, it's obvious that the moon has an influence on the earth, but in biodynamics we also view the other planets in the solar system having a more subtle influence, and so if we want to tap into those influences, there's a planting calendar where people have done a lot of research over the years to help guide in when to plant certain crops to get the best result and the best keeping properties and the best vitality in the crops. So.
Well, that makes sense. You know, I mean, you can tell that there's a difference with the moon because it's right there. You know, you can actually, it's very profound. Well, just because we can't perceptually tell with the other planets, that doesn't mean it isn't there. You know, so there's always a lot going on. All you got to do is pay attention and observe, and then there you go.
Yeah, I think the best way that I've heard biodynamics described is the icing on the cake that keeps everything together. Basically, you have to have good, sound, biological farming practices in place, and then if you start to apply biodynamics on top of that, you can really bring things far. But at the same time, you kind of need it. Those principles of like the viewing the farm as an organism to hold things together. Otherwise, you go more towards the monocropping. Just if you take it more towards where the market wants to dictate and what things are profitable, you know, seeing how farming has gone in this country. Larger and larger farms are becoming the only way where people can turn a profit. And then if you start to utilize those ecosystem services to your advantage, then you can also become profitable on a smaller scale because you don't have to buy into all the inputs, which used to be just a byproduct of diversity, but now people are having to bring in because they've taken away their pest controls, their natural pest controls, and their natural, they've taken the animals off the farm, so the fertility's not there anymore. And
yeah, it's like that. Let's maybe be as profitable as possible right now.
Yeah, and it's very short-sighted.
Very little thought for the future.
Yeah. But yeah, we focus more on quality of food versus quantity.
Okay, I'm Stephanie Polthen, and I work in different places, and I work in the bakery and make cookies and bread, and then I work on the farm and feed the pigs, we butcher animals, we have a horse and goat that we feed, and we give the animals hay bales, and we have a garden, but that's done for the season. And I work in forestry. It's like forestry is like when you would usually prune trees, but we're doing different things in forestry now. I'm in the weavery, which I do chenille scarves, and I would work on that all afternoon. And then Friday I clean up Brome. I would clean up usually at Brome, but the person that's not here, I clean somewhere else, and just different places like that. And then how I got here was my mom got remarried and lives across the street from a neighbor. And the neighbor's, her name is Kathy. And she talked to my mom about showing her Camp Hill and talked to her about me living here and showing her and stuff online. So my mom thought after I graduated that it would be a good place for me because then I would have like more room to walk and ride bike and make more friends. And when I was here, I was happy to be here and stuff in this house with different people and stuff. But yeah.
There definitely is a lot more space, and just, you know, you look around and it's, you know, that's something that, you know, living in the city, I kind of take for granted because we don't have all this. But this is, I was commenting during lunch that, you know, how many birds do you guys see out here? You know, there's just tons and tons of birds, and you know, there's a lot of life out here. Mm-hmm. Is kind of the way I see it. And so yeah, those are good cookies, by the way. I've had some of those before. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, what are some of the other things that you just like about, you know, just the, you know, the stuff that goes on, you know, some of the I don't know, just the work, or just, you know, some silly stuff, and just, you know, like you said, you know, you've got friends and you're just kind of hanging, and you know,
we go out sometimes with the house to movies or out to eat, or we just sometimes we have friends over here and play games and hang out, and or sometimes I go over to farmhouse and play games with them, just hang out with different people. And it's interesting because because you got like all this nature, you can go exploring and stuff. And we have a lake down there, down by Cedar. It's called Cedar Lake, and we go swimming there in the summer. And
yeah, I was noticing just the, I was getting the tour, and there's like the, you know, there's the, I can't remember what she called it, but it's a performing arts center type thing. You know, it's the big room. And
St. Martin's?
Yeah, that would be it. But yeah, it is. It is quite the community here. And, you know, it's something that, you know, a lot of people, they don't have this in their lives, you know, and it's, I don't know. How do you feel about that? I mean, just people in general, everyone. You know, this is something that's kind of special. You know, as you get older, or as, I don't mean you, but I mean like the general you, like people. As people get older, I feel that they lose a lot of this. You know, maybe they're lucky growing up and they've got some of it, but as you get older, yeah, it kind of fades. And I don't know, what do you think about that, about having this community here and people, I don't know, nobody here takes this for granted.
Yeah. I feel great about it because I can just have my life here and with friends and friends and just with the nature and stuff. But it's great.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, where today we're visiting Camp Hill Village. And next up, we're talking with Executive Director Bill Briggs.
My name is Bill Briggs, and I live and work here at Camp Hill Village, Minnesota. And we're halfway between Sauk Center and Long Prairie. It's about 9 miles to each town. We're on 500 acres, though that which isn't in the swamp or water is kind of a sand knob. So it's not the most fertile land if you're trying to grow corn or soybeans or those kind of things. But for grass, for our different animals, it's wonderful. It's beautiful, yeah. Well, we started here in 1980. And there was parents of children and adults with disabilities that had seen the Camp Hill project centers back east. And so after having visited out there, they got together in a group and said, let's try to get such a place in Minnesota. And so some state legislators and family members of people with disabilities, they came out and formed a little group and got the thing started. And what they wanted to start was to have a place out in the country where there could be a farm. That was like the heart's piece of the project. Have a farm, have a rural life so that people with disabilities would have an option of being able to be on a working farm, to live, enjoy that kind of life, do some craft work, enjoy celebrating festivals that are land-based. So in the autumn, having a harvest festival and, living close to the land in that sort of way and honoring the earth and the farm life. And in 1980, there were a lot of small dairy farms going. They were giving up. And so this kind of revitalization of rural life and farm life, to have a number of people enjoying being out there working, whether it's gardening or farming or taking care of chickens or cows or that kind of thing. Yeah, to really live, work, celebrate, pray together. Yeah, to be together in that way in a working community. That was the intention.
And 30-some years later, that's kind of still happening, isn't it?
Right, that original mission is still what we're here about today. Many things have changed. We've put up a lot more buildings, and we have a community center, and we really like to also invite people, our friends, neighbors, other groups to come in and be in this community space so that we can join in things, or they can just make use of our facilities and have that available to them. One of the beauties of being on a farm is this kind of direct relationship to what you eat. For instance, some people will, they'll be planting potatoes in the spring, and then they'll be caring for them, you know, weeding, picking off bugs if they come, and then harvesting them in the fall. And then they're stored, and they might be going and getting them and bringing them into the house, cleaning them, preparing them, and then serving them out to other people. That being able to follow something from the beginning, just a little piece of potato that starts, and then eventually having a wonderful meal with those, and having seen the process or participated at least in part of that, it's not abstract. It's very immediate, very understandable. Yeah, that experience for a person with disabilities or not, this is an experience not that many people have anymore. And it would be the same, you know, caring for animals, whether it's beef cattle or a dairy cow or chickens, pigs, that attention every day to detail of helping them along, feeding them, caring for them, watching their health and their well-being, with the cows, taking them out to pasture, bringing them back in, and then watching them go through the season. It builds up a lot in oneself. It really gives a lot. And it's at a slower pace. And whether it's a staff member, a coworker, who are volunteers, by the way, they're not salaried in the usual way, or a person with special needs, it's a chance to grow, to develop in the work area, in the social area, in the kind of celebrating together, your potential. You can grow, you become something new and someone different by that activity. So we're trying to make all the time activities available, whether it's work, home life, putting together a play or singing together, celebrating somebody's birthday, to bring some warmth and enthusiasm for these kind of daily parts of life. That brings meaning, I think, to people.
Yeah, it's kind of like the mindfulness of process. Not necessarily ritual, although you could call it that. You know, every time that somebody has a birthday, there's a ritual you go through. We all do that. Everybody sings happy birthday. But at the same time, you know, there's more than that. There's that deeper process. I think you hit on it when you said that, yes, it's slower, but really, what's the rush?
Right. It's like the difference between getting a fast food meal and taking your ingredients that you're going to cook the meal with, that it's chosen carefully, that it's done with a lot of care and love. And the difference between, and then inviting others to participate in that, the pleasure, knowing that those who are eating from that, what that person has done of themselves and given over, the more experiences that we can try to create for people, I think it creates meaning. And there's also the aspect of rhythm, of having a meaningful rhythm, especially when one's doing things for other people. It's also an area that I think in being part of a community with people with disabilities and without, is that everybody has something to give. And no matter what field in social work is being addressed, the person that is needing some kind of service, they also need to give back, to have an avenue of, I'm not just a recipient of service, I'm not just a consumer of service, but I have something, some gift, however big, however small, that they can also give back, an avenue for that. And I think in that area, our community here and our organization is rich in that the people with disabilities, they have so many gifts, so many ways that they're supporting and helping. We do things together. It's not the caregivers just only a one-way street with all the services coming one way. No, it's house chores, making meals. We do it together. So if somebody, either physically or mentally, has some really great challenges, and so maybe outwardly it doesn't look, they don't have a lot to give, but it could be their social gift, their warmth, their smile, and their participation in slicing a few vegetables, maybe. Maybe that's the gift in the morning that they can do. That's their part. Or they're going to clean the table and set the table. And that's, maybe that'll take them all morning. And that's not a marketable skill in this world. But in a community that appreciates one another, that makes that opportunity there, that's seen as a real gift. If you look at, you know, why did we come to central Minnesota? Those family farmsteads where you would have several generations of the grandparents, the working family, the children, there was a job. As the grandparents got older, they had to slow down, and they weren't doing all the things that they used to, but maybe they were peeling the carrots, or maybe the grandpa was still collecting the manure with the manure spreader, and he would spread that on the fields each day if they had a dairy farm. Maybe that was his job, and that had real meaning to him. But he couldn't go and do all the field work, and he couldn't milk the cows anymore, but he had his part. And so in this environment of a farm, in workshops, there's a meaningful task for everybody. And to go to sleep at night or before going to bed and realizing, I've done something meaningful for other people today. What a satisfaction. I think less and less is that available to many people. And so we still, 33 years later, we want to still provide that opportunity in this kind of setting for people on a working farm.
And you said that, you know, primarily everybody out here is a volunteer. If somebody wanted more information on volunteering or on, you know, Camp Hill, how would they do that?
Right. I think the best place is to go to the website, and that's camphillvillageminnesota.org. That would be the best place to find us. And then the information about the workshops. The video that we made, it's 11 minutes long, doesn't take long to view, and it gives kind of a flavoring of life. And it's really hard, either through sound or even pictures, to try to explain, or a letter. Often people have written letters from the place trying to explain to their family or friends, this is the community that I'm living in. It's really good to, if you can, to come out and visit. And we very much welcome visitors and tours and things like that. And you can get our information off the website. And we're real happy to host people.
Excellent, excellent. Well, anything else you'd like to toss in there or say about anything?
No, I think one of the main things is that though a person may be funded and they may have a diagnosis of developmental disability, this is a person that has a lot of gifts. They have something to give to the world. They're not just a receiver of services. Yes, they do receive services, but they also have something to give to the world. And that is our task, is to try to uncover what that is. And we're a licensed adult foster care place, so we have all those kind of safety nets and things that people need, and we're professional in that kind of way. But there's a deeper kind of relationship of making community together and seeing that this is a worthwhile person and they have much to give to the world if they're only given the time and the opportunity. And that's what we're about. I also should just say we're not a place for everybody, both the volunteers who come as staff and also people with special needs. We are out in the country. We're not that oriented towards video games and media and things like that. This thing of being together, and especially if we're engaged in different kinds of art, singing, drama, these different workplaces, or just spending time socializing together, visiting the different houses. That's our strength. The media and different devices, we're part of that, and they're tools that we use, but we want them to have their place. And the thing that's most important is this meeting of person to person. That's most important. Was 33 years ago, is today.
Probably has been for a very, very long time. And hopefully for a long time to come, too. Yep. Well, right on. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Once again, for more information on Camp Hill Village, including the variety of arts, the bakery, the farm itself, their garden, their herb garden, the harvest kitchen, and the weavery, as well as where you can find products to purchase to support Camp Hill Village, you can find it online at www.camphillvillage-minnesota.org. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This program was made possible through funding by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of AMPERS, Diverse Radio for Minnesota's Communities.